Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen. Now, I want to share a story with you. I've heard many comical tales about my maternal great-grandparents, Ma and Ba. From chasing down speeders with garden hoses to popping alligators' personal space bubbles, Ma and Ba were icons of the family, to say the least. Unfortunately, I was born just a little too late and knew both of them towards the end of their reign, when they were in their 90s. My mom told me Ba would always nag her about bringing me over to visit, particularly to visit his beloved Ma. He would say, "Ma needs to see McKay today," or, "When are you bringing McKay over to see Ma?" Ba passed away first when I was just a meager 2 years old. I think the only regret he took with him to the grave was leaving his beloved Ma behind. The week after he died, something incredible happened. At this age, one of my favorite things to do was imitate the way my mother would talk on the phone, a form of pretend, if you will. She always started conversations with family and friends in the same way. It was always a, "Hey, what you doing?" This was back in the day when telephones were simple cordless landlines. One day, my mom noticed me mimicking her with the phone, but it wasn't out of the ordinary. It just so happened to be a week after Ba had passed away. I had never actually called anyone on the phone. I mean, after all, I was just 2 years old. My mom sat down on the couch next to me during my pretend conversation, hoping to observe me in an imaginative state. Rather quickly, she suspected I might actually be talking to someone. She asked me to hand the phone to her. Lo and behold, a rather confused but happy Ma was on the other end. My mom asked if Ma had called the house, and Ma replied with a no. Ma had thought that my mom had called her house. It would have been impossible for me to dial the number, and back in 2003, a redial button did exist, but Ma's number was not there. We never figured out exactly how I got on the phone with Ma. Something tells me Ba thought Ma really needed to talk to her McKay. Even when Ba left the earth, he remained with Ma, just as it is said in today's gospel that Jesus will always remain in us even though he isn't physically here. He commands his disciples to love one another, but Jesus also reminds them that they will continue to feel his presence even when he is absent. We hear these words from today's gospel reading, and immediately our minds go to the phrase, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you," or "Love your neighbor as yourself." And maybe we say to ourselves, "We've heard this before. This really isn't a new commandment," meaning Jesus's phrase, "I give you a new commandment, that you should love one another, just as I have loved you. You should also love one another." It was already written in the Old Testament that God says we should love one another. Why was Jesus acting like this was news? Take a look at this phrase, "just as I have loved you." So we're presented with a new angle on this old concept of love. This message of love is there. Love for our neighbors, love for the outcast, love for the poor, love for the sick, and love for all of God's children. All through our scriptures, the challenge is there. Loving all despite not agreeing on beliefs and practices. Loving all and recognizing the image of God found in all of God's children. Loving all, even when we want to draw lines and ask questions about who is in and who is out. So what exactly does it mean for us to love one another as Jesus has loved us? For us to understand, let's explore the setting of today's gospel. It's the night Jesus was betrayed. He gathered all of his disciples and invites them to the table for the Last Supper. He knows what his future holds. He knows what tomorrow will bring. The crucifixion is coming. Jesus knows that the one closest to him will betray him. He knows that when the guards will storm in, his disciples will scatter. On this night, Jesus is very much aware of this impending darkness. Despite all of these things, Jesus welcomes his disciples to the table. And because of all these things, he tries to prepare them for what lies ahead, letting them know that they will not be alone, showing them compassion, showing them grace, showing them the true meaning of love. During this meal, Jesus welcomes all his disciples to God's table, even the one who would deny him, Peter. He invites all of his disciples to the table to experience God's love and grace and beauty. Despite the broken promises, despite the betrayal, despite the broken relationships, Jesus invites all of them to God's table to show them how much he truly loves them. Because despite all these betrayals, denials, and broken relationships, Jesus loves them to the end. Jesus loves them despite these betraying actions, in spite of the hurtful words, in spite of their expressions of denial. Jesus loves them completely, unconditionally, and wholly. Jesus sees beyond all those things and sees them as children of God and recognizes that they are connected. Jesus sees beyond all of these divisions. Everyone was welcomed, the believers, the doubters, the betrayers, the ones that scattered, all were welcomed. While writing the sermon, the question came up for me, how do I love those that are hard to love? This was a difficult question for me to respond to. How are you supposed to love the bully that makes your life miserable, or the toxic friend? When someone is miserable, it inevitably bursts somewhere, and that somewhere is most often on someone, unfortunately. We need to realize it is impossible to prevent others from saying or doing things that hurt us. There is always another opportunity to be offended. There is most definitely a time for confrontation. However, Jesus wishes us to love our enemies and forgive those who have wronged us. This is for our own good, and Jesus is very much aware of this. We must realize that showing love to someone who doesn't expect it is one of the most powerful things we can do as humans. Jesus' death on the cross was an unparalleled act of sacrifice, revealing his love for us. There was no limit to Jesus' sacrifice because there was no limit to his love for us. Christ has shown sacrificial love towards us so that we can display the same sacrificial love towards others. So how exactly do we go about this? Well, we should all love each other unconditionally. It is a part of the human condition to love, and more importantly, to want to be loved. There is nothing we could have done to make us deserving of the relationship we all automatically share with Christ. Jesus didn't die because we somehow earned God's grace and love. In actuality, he died because of our own detachment to God. We have to recognize that there are no limits or conditions to Christ's love for us. We will never have to prove ourselves worthy of this love. The fact we constantly mess up is no reason in the slightest for God to withdraw his love from us. Jesus' love was absolutely unconditional. Think about the first time we heard these beautiful, simple words, "Jesus loves me, for this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Because Jesus loved us unconditionally despite our multitude of flaws and shortcomings, we are called to love others in the same unconditional way. In this present-day United States, we need love and gentle Christians now more than ever. We all recognize the harsh and judgmental society in which we reside. We jump to conclusions and immediately think the worst of everyone. We are quick to judge, where we blame the child sitting alone for his own misfortune, where we blame those on government benefits for being too lazy, where we distance ourselves from those who are different than us. Society is slipping into a harsh and aggressive environment. As Christians, we are called to a different way of living. We are called to show unconditional love to all those we know, even the weak and the vulnerable. After all, this is what God has done for each one of us. He is gentle with us, isn't he? God doesn't bear a grudge or give us a hard time for messing up so regularly, and we should follow in his footsteps by treating others with the same gentleness and patience and kindness that he has shown for us. I want to share a fitting quote from my favorite work, Les Misérables by Victor Hugo. To love another person is to see the face of God. I'll say that again. To love another person is to see the face of God. Whatever else Christ Church is about, it must be a place of love, where people encounter the love of God for them and where people feel loved and accepted for who they are. It also must be a haven for people to feel free to express their love to others and to God. I want to thank all of you in this community for all of the love and support I have received over the years. God's love is very much present here. As I leave this uplifting and familial environment, I will take with me the lessons and encouragement I have received through Christ Church. Christ Church will eternally hold a special place in my heart, and I know I will take its love with me in this new chapter in life. May God's peace be with you all. Amen.